question for all of y'all out there. Got a question. A party that lots of people in this country accuse of being racist, xenophobic, or simply a party that's interested in feeding the wealthy and not paying too much attention to the desolate and the disenfranchised. Or are you interested in a party that's hell-bent, apparently so, on ensuring that prosperity is something to be denied and it's time for the land of opportunity to be burnt to the damn ground? That's the way things are unfolding in this country as we speak. Because on one hand, whatever juvenile, narcissistic, detached act that the president engages in, where somehow, some way, while there's an affordability issue in this country, and there's a deficit that keeps climbing in the trillions, somehow, some way, no matter what trials and tribulations are going on pertaining to inflation or anything like that, this man seems to find a way, no matter what the reports say about him and his dollars and his bank account continuing to dwindle. In the end, what it comes down to is the man has made billions since returning to office a year and a half ago. A little more than a year and a half ago. And that's a party that people are looking at and they're saying, what the hell is up? And then we turn to our left. And what all we're hearing about is the Democratic Socialist of America. We don't even hear about the Democrats anymore. As a party, as a Democratic Party. There's moderates and then there's the progressives. It's a house divided. And it seems with every passing week, the DSA is gaining traction. It's all apparently in an effort to ask and present to the United States of America, the American citizens, the voters, the electorates, what country do you want? Are you willing to witness the scaling back of progress for the black community and other minority communities in this country because of Trump's commitment to immigration reform, to border security, to the eradication of DEI and beyond, and ultimately doing things that returns America back into a time that he was more comfortable with? Or are you willing to go the route of listening to folks tell you that somebody that believes they are a woman, although they were born a man and want to transition, should have the right to share bathrooms with those born of an opposite sex, and dare I say, compete against them in sports, along with a bevy of other things that come associated with the Democratic Socialist of America? This is the reality of the situation, whether you like it or not. At some point in time, when we go up to the polls and we press whatever buttons on the screen that we press, and we favor one candidate over another, that's the decision that they're putting us in terms of this binary system that we're living in. And for the purposes of today's show, rather than focusing on Trump and his salacious, narcissistic, repugnant tendencies from time to time, I'm going to take an opportunity to do this opening monologue to focus on the Democratic Party, because I watched AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and former Vice President of the United States, former Senator of the United States, former Attorney General for the state of California, the one and only Kamala Harris, make their presence known on video or in appearances this past week alone. And I got to tell you, every conservative I run across, either they're laughing or they're salivating at the opportunity for their profiles to elevate even more so they can have a field day with the Democrats' version of a leading candidate here. I can't believe what I'm seeing. I can't believe what I'm seeing. I know a bevy of qualified candidates. I think Governor Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania is a big time candidate. I think Westmore of Maryland is a candidate. I think J.B. Pritzker, with all his troubles in Chicago and stuff, I still think he could be a candidate. If Andy Beshear resonated a little bit more, I think he could be a candidate. Personally speaking, Alyssa Slotkin, Senator Alyssa Slotkin, who's been on this show before, who, by the way, has a national security background, is somebody I wouldn't mind looking at more intensely to see her willingness to run for the presidency. I got to admit it to you. But that ain't what they putting in front of our face. From Abdul El-Sayed in Michigan to Mom Donnie, who can't run for president, but he is the mayor of New York City. That's who we've seen. For a while, they even tried to put this woman, Francesca Hung, a Wisconsin state representative, in our face. And some of the things that she's quoted as saying, canceling Thanksgiving, abolishing and defunding the police, abolishing prisons, abolishing the United States Senate, even though she tried to backtrack on those comments, these are the kind of things they were trying to put in our face. I mean, she was so damn bad, Bernie Sanders didn't endorse her. But nevertheless, these were the names that we were hearing. And I got to tell you something right now. It's incredibly alarming. Everybody should be alarmed because, damn it, we're in a no-win situation. You tell me what's attractive about any of these candidates at this particular moment in time, because I don't see it. I really, really don't. But if you don't believe me, listen to some of them. Let's start with Francesca Hung, okay? Let's start with her.
Is there any information about yourself, your background, that you think voters are potentially missing out on?
I've cooked many great Thanksgiving dinners. And I'm not going to cancel Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God. Oh, my Lord. Let's try AOC. Let's see some of her less than finest moments on camera that the Republicans have been bragging. They're going to parade all over the airwaves if they get an opportunity to run against her. Let's give us some sound from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC. Play it, please.
Would and should the U.S. actually commit U.S. troops to defend Taiwan if China were to move?
You know, I think that... This is such a, you know, I think that this is a, this is of course a very longstanding policy of the United States.
Oh my Lord. That was at the Munich Security Conference months ago, ladies and gentlemen. That means she flew overseas to tackle a subject she knew she was going over there to tackle, knowing the question that was going to be asked, and that was her response. What am I missing? To make it worse, Kamala Harris, the vice president of the United States, who was the last Democratic nominee in 2024, who I voted for, by the way, listen to her just this past week talking about the Save America Act that Trump has been fixated on getting passed to no avail to this point. Listen to the former vice president of the United States and what came out of her mouth.
Hey, everybody. So they're trying to mess with your ability to vote, just to break it all down. You've got the Supreme Court. They just sealed the deal with this case that just came up recently, the Calais decision, which basically took the power out of the Voting Rights Act, which was designed to protect your right to vote. So you got the Supreme Court doing its thing. Then this president is trying to push this SAVE Act, which basically would require that for people to register to vote, you're gonna have to have proof of who you are through a passport, which a lot of Americans don't have, or a birth certificate. Same point, obstacles to make it difficult for you to register to vote.
I will respond in a second. But there's a senator out of Louisiana, Senator Kennedy, who showed up on Fox News with Sean Hannity the other night and took the liberty of taking the bull by the horn himself and speaking about the former Democratic nominee for the presidency of the United States from a couple of years ago. Listen to what the senator had to say about our former vice president and a former colleague in the United States Senate. Listen to this.
I listened to Vice President Harris. No disrespect, but Vice President Harris is no longer relevant. She had her shot and she missed. She can cozy up to the moo-moo linens all she wants to, but she has me confused with somebody who cares what she thinks. I mean, she's yesterday. What worries me are these guys like Mondani and Dr. Al Sayed and AOC and Bernie.
Tallarico.
These people
are nuts.
They just want to beat the crap out of America. They feel contempt for America when they should feel gratitude.
Sean Hannity is my buddy. 75% of the time, we don't agree. And I don't like him laughing in the background at Kamala Harris. Let me be the first to say that. But it doesn't mean Senator John Kennedy was wrong. He doesn't care about what former Vice President Kamala Harris has to say. And neither do most Americans. Let's just keep it a buck. And we don't care for the reason that he articulated. She had her shot and she blew it. When you can't make it to the Iowa primaries, but you are gift-wrapped the Democratic nominee for the presidency of the United States because you had the benefit of being able to avoid a primary en route to being designated as the Democratic nominee for the party. And you go on The View and you're asked a softball layup question by Sonny Houston about if there was anything that you would do differently. And you say, No, I can't think of anything. People remember that. And that's why you lost the election. And a lot of times people are thinking in this day and age that you're going to go against Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not going to be the nominee in 2028. We know he's older. We know his behavior is juvenile. We know he's petty. We know he's been on a vengeance tour. We know that he lied to us about engaging in new wars. We know that he seems to be in the back pockets of others or having others in his back pocket, whatever way you want to label it. In some people's eyes, they're going to say he ain't worth a damn. And you're going to be hard-pressed to find anybody that isn't dependent on him to disagree with that. But Marco Rubio is not Donald Trump. J.D. Vance, with his smooth talking self, particularly during the vice presidential debate and some of these television appearances while he was promoting his book, is not Donald Trump. And neither is Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, who's about to leave office because his term limit is up. J.D. Vance knows how to handle himself in front of a camera. He's younger, he's sharp, he's articulate. Marco Rubio has been a longtime senator, is the Secretary of State, Director of National Security, whose credentials are pretty freaking impeccable. Both of them articulate themselves very well. In Rubio's case, he's bilingual, of Cuban descent, and that ain't gonna hurt him. And no, they don't have the popularity, the cachet, or anything like that of Donald Trump. But they're also not as exposed as Trump is because of all the nonsense that he has engaged in. They worked under him, and you could try to point the finger at him, but that ain't going to work amongst conservative voters or even centrists and independents. They're not going to blame them for Trump. They're going to blame Trump for Trump. So if you're going to go against them, you got to be sharper than what we've seen and heard. You've got to. And the question is there anybody on the Democratic side who can live up to that? Here's the deal. I got a list of candidates. Stay with me. I'm going to go down a list of all of them right now. Let's start with AOC. We know she's got a grassroots following and she's young, but we also know she has a socialist label. Defund era positions, polarizing, no executive experience, and foreign policy scrutiny. We know that. Let's go to Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. Executive experience running a larger state and a huge fundraiser, skilled media combatant, no doubt. But what about the resume? What about the homelessness? What about the cost of living? What about taxes? What about a polished persona that reads as privilege? They're going to show homelessness. They're going to show the affordability issues in California. Highest tax state in the union. They're going to say, nah. What about Peter Buttigieg, former U.S. Transportation Secretary? I said it on Bill Maher on HBO, and I'm going to say it again. He doesn't move us. He had 0% support from the black community. Why? Because he just doesn't move us. I'm going to leave it at that. Told you about Kamala Harris. She already lost to Trump in 2024. Every opponent says, we've already tried this. Some people might view Democratic voters as having a position of this being unfinished business. Others might say, damn it, it's a verdict. It's already in. It happened in 2024. How about J.B. Pritzker, governor of Illinois? Executive experience, enormous personal resources, no doubt. But billionaire status awkward in a populist primary. Illinois lacks the swing state argument. What about Mark Kelly, U.S. Senator out of Arizona? Not very charismatic. Relatively untested nationally. No, ain't working. Just trust me on this. Ain't working. I believe in Josh Shapiro. Not that nationally known. Not as nationally known as Newsom, AOC, or even Kamala Harris. Israel positions could be contentious in a primary, no doubt. Must prove he generates national enthusiasm. But he's a governor. Maybe the most useful resume in the entire field. Executive experience, swing state credibility, cross-party reputation, working across the aisle with Republican legislatures and legislators in his state. That's a big-time one. What about Wes Moore? Young, charismatic, Army veteran, strong generational change case. Compelling biography, executive resume. Oh, by the way, I understand short political resume, limited evidence of appeal and competitive national territory in his 2028 moment. Is it one cycle? Is it too early? I don't know. You can make the argument that he's a good candidate, but Josh Shapiro is better, despite his support of Israel. But the point is, you got some candidates. Andy Beshear, my issue with him is low national name recognition and relatively boring, but definitely competent. Elected governor twice in a D-red Kentucky. Culturally moderate, urges Democrats to talk like a normal human being. I think that helps. Alyssa Slotkin, I've already told you about her. National security background, just not a national identity yet. Smaller grassroots footprints than AOC or Newsom. I'll give her that, but I still like her. Cory Booker, respect that man. I truly, truly do. He's an excellent speaker. He's a senator. But ran in 2020 without sustained traction. And if we're going to say that about Kamala Harris, you got to say that about him. So the way it comes down to me is it's got to be Josh Shapiro or Wes Moore or an Alyssa Slotkin. I'm sorry. It ain't Pete Buttigieg. I'm going to say Gavin Newsom too. But in order for Gavin Newsom to win the Democratic nomination, Gavin Newsom is going to try to go extreme left. Either way you slice it, there are Democratic candidates. There are a few of them. But instead, what we're seeing is Mamdani. What we're seeing is El Said. What we're seeing in this is this woman, Francesca Hong. Now we're seeing Kamala Harris and AOC. It ain't going to work, y'all. It ain't going to work. People better get their act together. Because no matter what's going on with our government under this present administration, there's hope on the horizon once Trump leaves office. On the Republican side. Say what you want about DeSantis. He's an executive. I got some issues with him. Can't wait to interview him. But I got news for you. He's an executive. And I don't hear too many people complain about the state of Florida. And I ain't going to be no hypocrite. I moved there. Rubio, his nationals, his foreign policy experience, being the Secretary of State for this country. Very articulate, knows how to deal with combativeness. Bilingual. Got an Hispanic populace out there that respects the hell out of him. I think Rubio's the real deal. I think Rubio's the real deal. I think Governor DeSantis is the real deal. These are formidable candidates that will stand in front of any Democrat believing they can eat them alive. Do you think Kamala Harris or AOC can deal with them? Gavin Newsom can argue against anybody. Sounds smooth as hell. Right up until the minute you look at California and its affordability issues, and then all of a sudden you change your mind. Josh Shapiro is a different beast. Governor Wes Moore might potentially be a different beast. But what we're seeing instead is a lot of airtime and airplay given to AOC and Kamala Harris. And that's after they show you El Saeed. And after they show you Mom Donnie. By the way, California and New York, they've lost over $500 billion in tax revenue over the last few years for people who have exited those states because of taxes. I'm just saying. When we gonna wake the hell up? I want a legitimate run for the presidency. With two parties to be excited about, wondering what's the right decision to make. Instead, what I'm seeing is an absolute mess because of an administration on the right and because of an entire party, albeit one that's incredibly fragmented on the left. Damn, we deserve better. And all they're doing is giving us worse.